Welcome to Adoption Talk by Spence Chapin, the podcast where all the voices of the adoption constellation come together. Twice a month, this podcast brings you conversations with adoptees, birth parents, adoptive families, and adoption professionals as they share their experiences and discuss all things adoption. We're glad you've joined us. Spence Chapin intern Kate Lodge and longtime friend E, both adopted from China into transracial families, discuss memories of their first years of life in China and their experiences with 23andMe, microaggressions, meeting other adoptees, and reconnecting with their heritage. Let's get started.
Hi, welcome to Spence Chapin's Adoption Talk. My name is Kate Lodge. I was an intern in the marketing department for 8 months. I am a senior in college, and I am an international adoptee. I am joined today with my friend E, who I've known for about 11 years now. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm E. I am also an international adoptee, also from China. And I am currently going into my first year at college.
Awesome. What pronouns do you use? I use they, them.
And I also use they, them.
Perfect. All right. So let's get into this. Why don't we? So why don't we start off with our stories? So I'm from the Xinjiang province of China, from a city called Urumqi. I was born in around 2000, and I'm guessing, according to my records, a few months after I was left somewhere and I was screaming my head off and someone found me, brought me to the police station. They had an internal investigation trying to locate my family. And when they couldn't, I was put into an orphanage. In China, I'm not quite sure what the name of the orphanage was. I've been trying to find that, but I can't. So I was in the orphanage for about 2 to 3 years, I want to say. My birthday is kind of unknown, so it's a bit harder to pinpoint. But at the age of 2 to 3, I want to say, Spence Chapin found a family and connected them with me. And then I was adopted and brought to the States. I had to get surgery as soon as I came here for spina bifida. And so that was like the first thing that happened to me when I got to the States. And then, yeah, now I'm living with my amazing adoptive family. So, do you want to share your story?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So, I was left under a bridge in Zhuzhou. And I was brought to Changsha. And then I was put in an orphanage for roughly 9 to 10 months. I was put up for adoption when I was roughly 1 month old, but it was very much approximate due to the fact that adoptive families, when it's in China or an international adoption, there's a tendency of parents can't leave a trace due to the fact that it's illegal to leave your child, but it was also an issue during the 1990s to early 2000s of the one child policy.
I think that's
very common why we were put up for adoption. Well, one of the reasons. I then was adopted into a loving family, but I also had some issues like Kate. So my adoption was getting delayed because I was really sick. Before my parents, my adoptive parents, were allowed to come and get me, they'd get a lot of updates, but their adoption was put on pause, and they were told to come a month later due to the fact that I was in the hospital. And then even when I came back to the States, I also had to go into the hospital.
That the one child policy in China really messed a lot of things up, so to speak. And as someone who was, as people who were born during that one child policy era, I can't imagine how difficult it is, because of there's so many possible circumstances on why this has happened. And I think sometimes I wonder if I have like a sibling that I don't know of, or, you know, because of that. So it's definitely a difficult thing. So our adoptive families, or at least my adoptive family, is I'm also in a transracial household, so my family is all white, which I think is sometimes the funniest photos come out of those, because you see my family and then just in the center there's this little Asian girl who just does not look like the rest of the family.
But like it's... Kate, it's interesting how we redefine what a family looks like, because we are a mixed race family,
and
you know, the other race, but we're still family.
I also, I have a biological sister who, or my parents have a biological daughter, so I have an adoptive sister. And in all honesty, I think that was, at least for me, that was one of the greatest gifts, was getting a sibling. Because we are only about 4 years apart. So, and I always say, I think that's like the perfect age difference, because my older sister is older than me enough to help me with like real world situations and problems that I may have, but we're also close enough where we can talk about some, maybe I, something I find more difficult to talk about with, say, like my parents or something. So I definitely think also having a sibling has helped greatly in all of this.
Yeah, that's amazing that you have a sister. I also have a sister, and she is amazing. She is also older than me. She is 4.5 to 5 years older than me. So it's, again, the perfect age gap that Kate was talking about. My sister is also biologically related to my parents, and we are also a transracial household due to the fact that and multiracial due to the fact that I am a person of color and my family members are all white. My dog is also white.
Oh yeah, the cutest
So
dog you'll ever see though.
yes, I love my dog. Yeah, so it's definitely different to live in a household where you stand out, and being in public. I don't know, Kate, if you have any like experiences
Oh, I have
of
so many.
people like staring or making comments or from microaggressions to macroaggressions, but I know that I do. I'd love to hear if, since you said you have many, if maybe if you can touch upon two or three, that would be great.
Sure. So I'll tell you one that happened most recent, I guess you'd say. So last winter, every winter my family goes to Florida to get away from the cold, New England weather. And most people know that Florida is a very interesting place, we'll say. But the neighborhood I'm around are old, predominantly white people. And I brought one of my good friends from college with me to hang out for spring break. And in the little community we have, we were having like a pool party gathering thing. And so my mom went, I went, my friend went. My friend is white. So the entire time, people assumed my friend was my mom's daughter, and I was the friend that they brought with them instead of the other way around. So I think that's one of the most recent events that have happened, but it's always when my family's together, they'll always be like, "Oh, and this is your daughter. And who is this?" It's like, that's my other daughter. So those are I think the main ones that I get the most. There's just the assumption that I'm not part of this family, or I'm somehow related to the friend, or I'm like some not a immediate part of the family, I guess you'd say. Do you have
No,
any
I
of those
totally.
situations?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I've gotten a range of just microaggressions, macroaggressions, and then straight up racism. But when it comes to being adopted, it's a bit more nuanced. I found that when people kind of ask, like, I think a lot of people of color can relate to this, being like, where are you from? And then they're like, no, where are you really from? But then when you go into like the complexities of like, well, I was adopted, and then they go straight to, have you ever met your real parents?
Oh, it
That sting.
automatically
It hurts so bad.
straight to it. And I think what we sometimes forget, or not much is talked about always, is that there's a difference and between like wanting to know and not wanting to know. 'Cause I know a few people who have just been like, I don't really care. I don't want to know who my birth parents are. And then I've had others who are dying
Oh
to meet
no.
them
Yeah.
or know who they are. So there's a huge like divide on that of like wanting to know,
And not wanting to
knowing,
know,
and then not
knowing
wanting.
and wishing that you didn't know, and all of those thoughts and feelings, are completely valid. We
Definitely.
don't As an adoption community, we don't always talk about the fact that we have these thoughts and feelings and we feel that they're wrong, but they're not, because they're genuine to who you are. And it makes sense that you would want to know, like, where
who
you
gave
come
birth
from.
To you. Yeah,
there should be no shame in that.
No, there
and
shouldn't.
Where you came from, there's absolutely none.
Yeah,
and it's unfortunate that people think that whether you do or don't know, that they can come up to you and just start asking random questions.
Oh yeah, invading your
personal
life. Yeah,
you're like, I'm just trying to buy some fries or something, and
yeah,
then you just go off and think, let me talk to you and like learn about you, and then do an in-depth, like,
yeah,
I don't know, op-ed or something. It's like, no, not the
it's
time.
Very it's half the time for me it's always like prying for that information. I'm always
right?
Like, look, yeah. if I wanted to tell you, then I probably would have told you, kind of.
Exactly.
Situations.
It's
I'm
really
not...
interesting.
Yeah. And... Oh,
plays
yeah.
Out. And I say interesting as in aka very awkward.
It is. And I get that question so much. Every time I'm like, oh, I'm adopted, I too always get the, oh, do you know your birth parents, or do you want to know your birth parents? And
have you ever gone back?
Yeah, have you ever gone back? Yeah, that's another big one. And for me, it's, I've never had that curiosity to want to get to know. My family has always been very supportive of the fact that if I wanted to find my birth parents, I could, and they'd help me. I've never found comfort in that myself, you know? My parents never hid that I was adopted. I've known for a long time. And so it's just, it's the continually asking, even after I've told people. Some people, like a few years later, will come back to me and ask the exact same question of, well, do you want to find your birth family? And I'm like, my answer hasn't changed in a year. If it ever changes, I'll let people know.
But
but
it's not
it hasn't. I don't know what it is. I've never had the will to want to look for them, or I guess the care to either. I've
Yeah.
My mindset's kind of what's done is done, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, if for some reason or somehow my birth family wanted to contact me, I'm not going to shoot that down. I doubt it'll happen, but I'm not going to be like, no, I will never meet them. It's just I don't have the want to go and search
bandwidth?
For them. It's,
yeah.
I don't know if it's emotional bandwidth. I think it's just, I genuinely am just like, I don't.
Just don't need to be.
It's just something,
you know,
that I like, I don't strive to want to know, kind of situation.
Yeah.
But
there's so much more time and energy that you can put into things that you do like and you do enjoy and aren't. Like
exactly.
A mystery,
yeah,
that needs to be solved.
And
which
I
think comes to the root of people asking a bunch of questions, being like, I'm trying to figure you out. And it's like, I don't need you to
I
do
don't
that
need you to figure this out.
Stop.
I can very easily figure this out for myself. Yeah.
Yeah. I've gotten like the, not the quote unquote normal, or more common for people of color who are also adopted, like, where are you from, where are you really from, and then going on to that tangent. But I've also had, like, Kate, there was one particular moment that was borderline aggressive. I'd call it a macroaggression, but in high school I met I went over to a friend's house. I had never met their parents before, but they couldn't wrap their heads around the fact that I was adopted. And so the father asked me to show him a photo of my family to prove that I was not lying about being adopted. Yes. And then he asked me to call my parents to come over and check out the situation for himself. What? And then later said, you should be so lucky. You should be on your hands and knees being so grateful. And you could literally be either in a sweatshop, and then he pointed to his iPhone making this. Or
what?
Or being somewhere completely else. Like, you should be so lucky. And I was like,
oh my gosh,
don't put that on me. I was a freshman.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, no, don't put that survivor's guilt mindset onto me. It was really painful.
Yeah, because we have no control over this.
We have no
control. What happened to us happened to us because it happened to us.
Like, I don't need to be living my life being like, oh my gosh, I could be in a sweatshop right now and be making this man's iPhone. No, sir. And unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I ended that friendship because being in that type of environment was not
a good one.
Not healthy.
For sure.
Or if we did hang out, if I ever hung out with my friend again, it would not be at their house and their father would not be around.
No. I couldn't talk to someone ever again if they did that.
That was probably the worst I've ever experienced, or my most recent worst experience. For sure. I've had other slights at me since, but that was the most memorable. Jeez. Seared into my brain rent free.
Kate, I know, has done, was it 23andMe?
Yeah.
Did you find anything super surprising, or did something just click and it helped you understand yourself better?
I think it did, honestly. My mom, she does a lot of work with a lot of different people, and she worked with these people from Mongolia one year, and they saw a photo of me. And this was before I did my DNA test, so I had no idea. And they were like, she looks Mongolian.
Yeah.
Very Mongolian. And all I knew was I'm from Urumqi, China. So I don't know anything else at the time. And so we were like, why not find out more? And everything. And so I was like, yeah, totally. That'd be so interesting to figure it out. So it's a lot of interesting history. I do have Mongolian genetics, I guess. I'm also the southern provinces, a lot of Tibetan, apparently.
Wow, that's incredible that you found all of that out just through your DNA and two tests.
Right.
Yeah. And you did health and
So because I know next to zero about myself, I did one of their features which predicts genetic factors. You can obviously claim if these are true or not based on looking at yourself.
Yeah.
But the more important one that I thought would be really good was the blood and markers. So it tells you if you have the genetic markers for certain diseases, if you have any of their variants, or if you have to worry about any of those.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which I think also really helps kind of just for people who don't know anything, just to kind of get that knowledge, I guess,
Yeah, that
to
like
know
baseline
who.
knowledge.
Yeah, it really is also just like baseline knowledge of who you are.
Like, Kate, I know next to nothing about my origin story. It's kind of like a piece of the puzzle that's missing from my life. But frankly, when we were talking about earlier how some people want to know, some people don't want to know, some people really, really want to know, and some people know and they wish that it didn't. So, but at the end of the day, I took like probably since middle school, and now I'm heading to college to solidify the fact that I would like to know at least my genetics and like my health history. Because I've noticed when I have to go into doctor's appointments by myself, now that I'm an adult and not a child, every time the doctor asks, like, do you have any like familial history on any diseases, like, or any genetic things that you may or may not have, but your like parents have or grandparents? And I'd always just write NA or be like,
I
I'm
have no idea.
adopted, or like, I don't know. And that was like a little bit of a red flag for the doctors. Like, I could see them be like, what do you mean,
You
don't
don't
know?
know.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, that's not my fault. I straight up don't know
Is that what pushed you to want to
medically.
do it? Was like figuring
I
all that
think
out?
so. I think it was less so about like, do I have a family member out there? Do I like have a long lost something? 'Cause I do wonder, like you said. However, I when it comes to my health, I was really sick when I came, and I was really sick before my parents even adopted me. So I feel like it's pertinent to know now rather than later, as I'm heading off into the adult world and attending my own doctor's appointments alone and paying for my own like copay and everything. Like, adulting's scary and real. And when you're still like in that transition of like mom, dad, like mama, baba, like where, like, do you know these things? And they're like, I'm so sorry, honey, I don't know. And then they can turn to your like older sibling, because Kate and I both have older sisters,
And then you're just
and
like, do
then
you
do you know? And then my sister's like, yeah, I do know, but that's only because they're biologically related and I am not. So I think that's what pushed me to get my DNA test. I wanted to know my health history, because it's really scary, that I was really sick when I came, and I have had moments in my life, growing up that I was, and I'm still growing up, but like as I get older and older, I have to have caution with my health. And the only way I could know my back end history, because my parents cannot read Chinese and I'm slowly starting to relearn how to read Chinese, I thought that it would be important to do a 23andMe health and ancestry.
And I think it was also a way for me to get closer to my, I guess not culture, but heritage as well. 'Cause when I was younger, I had a nanny or a babysitter who was from China, spoke very little English, but was my main like connection to Chinese culture and everything. And then after that, my parents were like, you should continue your Chinese. And as someone who's grown up with learning disabilities, I have really pretty bad dyslexia. And so a different language, no less Chinese, is slightly a struggle for me. In Chinese, as E was saying, not good. Not good. So it was always a bit of a struggle, but I tried to kind of keep up with the culture and everything. But I think living in a predominantly white family has been slightly hard. They love their Americanized Chinese food, and I can't blame them. I'm not saying it's not good, because it's
just
good.
Not authentic.
I also just miss the like authentic Chinese food from
me
like,
too. The spices.
Oh yeah, there's nothing quite like just the authentic spice and food and flavor that comes from it. And yeah. Chinatown, luckily I live in New York, so Chinatown is relatively close to me. It's a good train ride, sadly, but it is somewhere I can go, and I've been meaning to go explore the city a bit more, so I'm probably gonna trek my way to Chinatown. Kind of
do it together, because
we should.
Chinatown in Massachusetts,
I've been there. It's small.
It's not, it's like a few blocks, and that's about it.
Yeah, but I mean, so I think I'd done more with my culture when I was younger.
Yeah.
But I mean, given the circumstances, I think my family did the best they could, and I can't fault them for that, for
definitely
sure.
Not.
But I mean, even nowadays, I'm on Duolingo again, learning Chinese. I have a lot of adoptee friends that I've just kind of like discovered through the years. And a lot of them are trying to also get back into their birth culture and stuff like that. So I think it's probably going to be a journey for us all to do either somewhat together. But I think that's all the time we actually have right now.
Yeah.
So I think that we have to say goodbye for now.
Yeah.
But it was so awesome talking to you.
Amazing. Awesome catching up. Awesome conversation.
Thank you so much for coming on here with me.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Adoption Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating wherever you get your podcasts. You can also head to spence-chapin.org/adoptiontalk to leave feedback, suggest episode topics, and sign up for updates on the latest episodes. See you next time.